The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this May 8th, 2022. And I want to welcome and wish that all of you ladies out there have had a very, very blessed Mother's Day today. And you say, well, not all of us are mothers. Well, if you're not one, you had one. And so I wish you a blessed Mother's Day. Now, the title of the message tonight was Mothers of the Bible, the Good, the Glad, the Bad, and the Sad. So we're going to take all of those categories as we go through this week and look at women of the Bible, the good ones and the bad ones. And boy, there's a bunch of each, so we're going to start tonight with two good ones, very, very good ones, and that is out of Exodus chapter 1, starting with verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. Now, here, Shiphrah means means to procreate. The meaning of that name in the Hebrew is to procreate, and Puah, the meaning of her name is childbearing, And by the way, I did say all of you mothers, not all of you birthing people, folks. Unbelievable how the insane those on the left have gone out there today, where they don't know what a woman is, and they refer to a woman as a birthing person. They have totally, completely lost their minds. They have lost it. But anyhow, I know all of you listening knows what a woman is, and you know what a mother is. And so here, and he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king Egypt commanded, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and saved these men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as Egyptian women, for they are lively and are deliberate ere the midwives come in unto them. Well, actuality was that had a lot to do with the Lord's blessing and that, but the midwives, first of all, Shiphrah and Puah were the chief of the midwives, and there was an estimated 500 midwives there in Egypt. And remember, they didn't have a lot of hospitals at that time. And so there was an estimated 500, and Shiphrah and Puah, they were the chief of the midwives. And so here, they were actually government employees. They worked for the government of Egypt. And the midwives were set up not for the Hebrew women, but they were set up for the Egyptian women. And when they weren't busy doing the Egyptian women, then they could do the Hebrew women. You know, they could assist them with delivering their babies. But it was more than just that. I mean, they would be there with them prior when they could to them delivering the babies, but mostly it was afterwards, you know, when a baby was born and they needed help, they needed care, you know, taking care of things around the house or whatever, but they were there to assist. And here, when she said that the Hebrew women were more lively, in other words, they had less problems in the childbirth than delivering the children normally than the Egyptian. The Egyptian women seemed to have more problems. Now, here, he goes on to say, and the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come unto them. Well, you know, the word kind of got out. They knew when the baby was coming, and they wanted to make sure often if there was not a problem that, well, the baby, if it was a man-child, was born and it was out of the way, hidden someplace by the time they got there to assist the Hebrew women with after, you know, after having a child. And excuse me. And so here, therefore, God dealt well with them, with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And the Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Now, Shifra and Pua, again, they would stay with the Hebrew women and help them after giving birth to care for the babies. And when the time of their testing came, these women stood their ground. They obeyed God and not the king. They did the right thing. See, that's the problem we have in this world, in this country today. The reason we've got such a wicked government, the reason today that Joe Biden is in the White House, he's a wicked little man, is because those who were supposed to do the right thing failed. When the time came, the testing, they stood down instead of standing up. And so here, when we take a look at this, we see these ladies, they had the courage. Not only did God give them houses, not only did he give them houses, but he also gave them husbands and families. And now I want to go over to another good woman, and that's over here in Exodus chapter 2. Now, we're going to take a look at Jochebed. That's the mother of Moses, and her name means glory of Jehovah. Jochebed's name means glory of Jehovah. And there went out a man out of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him from an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And her sister stirred afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that they may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and said, because he was drawn out of the water. Well, I think Pharaoh's daughter was pretty much knew that, look, there was no coincidence that this young girl would just be standing by, and it was no coincidence that this young girl would happen to know a Hebrew woman who could nurse the child. And so I think she was pretty well aware of what was going on, but the Lord knew this. The Lord knew this. Now, Jochebed, here, she had married Amram, and Amram was not only her husband, but her nephew. That's right. She married her nephew. So her husband was her husband and her nephew. In fact, if I turn over here to Exodus 6:20, and Amram took him, Jochebed, his father's sister to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses, and the years of the life of Amram were 137. Now here, so Jochebed had three children, and one was one of the best known leaders in all of history, the best known popular leaders in all of history, and that was Moses. And then Aaron, the other child, his older brother, was Israel's first high priest and founder of the Aaronic priesthood. And Miriam, who was a gifted poet and also a musician. So here, Jochebed made quite a contribution to humanity here in this. And so here I want to go now and take a look at another woman who was a good woman. Remember, the good. Now this woman, this next woman we're going to take a look at, just happened to be blessed among women. In other words, this woman we're going to take a look at was probably the greatest woman that ever lived. And so let's go to, and you all know who this is, let's go to Luke chapter 1, and we start with verse 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, Well, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God that nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. Now, here Mary was chosen of God for the highest honor, that any woman could ever possibly receive. In fact, remember, it was the dream and the wish of all the Hebrew women to be the one who ushered in and gave birth to the Messiah, to the Christ child. And here, with that, with giving the birth to the Christ child, came the greatest joy at the birth of Jesus. And yet, at the same time, Mary was going to suffer the greatest pain, watching her son, her perfect son, being crucified and suffering like no man had ever suffered before. And so here, can you imagine too, Mary, and I know you hear all these people saying, well, Mary had to be 14 years old or whatever. We don't know how old Mary was at that time, but most people figured she was a young woman, probably about the age of 18 or so. And she was a very mature woman. She was much more mature, what we do know about her, than any 14-year-old girl. And so here, can you imagine when she's telling Joseph, and Joseph finds out she's with child. Now, Joseph was engaged to Mary. They were betrothed. And a betrothal was the same as an engagement, with the exception, under a betrothal now, you actually had to be, to break that, you had to be given a paper of divorcement. Since you were betrayed, that was not like it is here today. Today, if you're engaged, all you have to do is break off the engagement. And so, unless you have what they call prenups, but in those days, and by the way, that's one of the, folks, it just goes to show you how there's no trust. Boy, there's no trust today in the marriage, you know. There is no trust out there. And because of infidelity. And nowadays, it's just like it used to be. It's just the opposite of what it used to be. In years past, when I was a young man growing up, most of the infidelity would have been on the men's side. It was the men who were. Today, that's just turned the opposite. Today, about 80% of the divorces are brought about by the women. They think there's something out there that they want. They can be liberated. And a lot of it's got to do with these so-called cell phones, these smart aleck phones. It's given them a different ability to be able to. Makes it so much easier for them to cheat, but at the same time, it makes it easier for them to get caught cheating. And so that's one of the reasons things have just turned around from where they used to be. But it's an amazing thing how there's so little trust out there today. And this is why before I marry somebody, we have three sessions of marriage counseling, because it's very important to understand what that divine institution is, and what God expects, Remember, second shortest verse in the Bible, God hates divorce. Folks, people need to understand it. And you better, whatever God takes seriously, you better take seriously. Now here, can you imagine Mary telling Joseph, well, you see, Joseph, it's not like you think. See, listen. God is the father of this baby. God is the father of this baby, not any man. Now, all you men out there listening to me tonight, now just think, what would you think if you found out, if you hadn't been with your wife for a long time, you've been away from the home for a year, and you come home and you find out your wife's already 6 months pregnant. Or you find out she comes home, she's 3 months pregnant, but you haven't even been around for a year, right? And you say, what's this? What's going on here? And she said, it's not what you think. You see, it's God that has given me this baby. I don't think too many of you out there would buy that. Now, here, Joseph didn't buy it. He was about to put Mary away, meaning giving her a paper divorcement. Well, he actually could have literally had her stoned, but he loved her and didn't want to do that. But then the Lord spoke to him. God came to him in a dream. Now, folks, forget about this E.F. Hutton, when E.F. Hutton talks. It's when God speaks that you better listen. When God speaks, pay attention. Pay attention. And so here, when God spoke and told Joseph, Joseph, don't worry about it. This is my child. I'm in control here. You go ahead and marry her. Well, when God told him, then he believed him. And so here, but you just kind of wonder. Now, here's Mary, and well, she's got relatives. You know, she's got Joseph's parents, and they probably knew by now she was pregnant. And so she had to live with that. Now, here, when the angel of the Lord comes and tells her, well, this had happened beforehand, that you have been chosen amongst all the women in the world. Amongst all the women in the world, you, Mary, have been chosen. Now, can you imagine that? God looked upon her heart. This woman had to be a woman of a pure heart to be chosen to be. And she was blessed amongst all women. Now, here, we're going to go from the good to the glad. And now, let's go over, and we're going to read in Luke 1, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her and rejoiced with her. Now look here. Can you imagine this? Elizabeth was way up in her years. And what is she doing here? Well, remember in those days, whenever a woman was barren and she could not have children, the common belief was that she had sinned against God and she had lost favor with God for one reason or another. And that's why she was barren, and there was something there. And so now Elizabeth was finally vindicated by all those false beliefs that she was somehow barren because that she had lost favor with God. But the reality was Elizabeth, like Sarah, like Hannah, well, she conceived. Her conception was to glorify God, was to glorify God. And it's the same thing here now with her in her old age conceiving John the Baptist. Now, who was John the Baptist? Remember, and we'll talk about this a little later too. Jesus said that amongst men born of women, there was none greater than John the Baptist. And so here, I want to go on now and look to another one who was very, very glad. Now, Elizabeth was very, very blessed and very glad, very happy that she finally conceived. And not only did she conceive a child, but she conceived in her womb the one that was going to be the greatest man of men among, next to the Lord Jesus himself, that was ever born. Now let's go over to 1 Samuel. And we take another look here in 1 Samuel. And this lady's name is Hannah. Now, the name Hannah means gracious, and that name fitted Hannah very well, gracious, a very gracious woman. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring with him that they may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord established the word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord for this child. And I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I lent him to the Lord. As he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. I've got to wet my whistle. I've been doing a lot of preaching today, and I got a little bit of a dry throat. Boy, that tastes good. That is lemon water, by the way. And so here now, remember Hannah, when Hannah went to pray. Well, first of all, she was the favorite wife of Elkanah because she was such a gracious woman. Now, he was a godly man, and she was barren, so she urged her husband to take another wife. Well, we find out that that's a common thing there amongst them. They wanted their husbands to be honored with children, and if she couldn't provide the child, she would urge him to take another wife that could. But God heard her prayers and gave her a child, Samuel, who she lent unto the Lord for all the days of his life. And so if we go back, you know, when she was praying, her lips were moving, but there wasn't any sound. And let me just go back here. I want to go back to verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Wherefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrow, for sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for one of the abundance of my complaint. And grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came into the house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass again, when the time came about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And so here now, you had a woman who was a good woman, and God had granted her petition, and she had given him, Samuel, to the Lord, and lent him to the Lord, you might say, as a mighty, mighty prophet. And now I want to go over here to another example, and that's into Joshua chapter 6. And in Joshua chapter 6, why did I pass that up? Okay, and in Joshua chapter 6, we read verses 22 through 26. Well, actually, yeah, we pick it up here. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as she sware unto her. And as the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold, and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she did the messengers, she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them in the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth thy city, Jericho, and they shall and lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his younger son shall be set up in the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and the fame was noised throughout all the country. Now here, this prophecy was actually fulfilled. If you go over to 1 Kings chapter 16, and I believe I'd like to go there for real quickly, and I believe it was in verse 34, in 1 Kings chapter 16, and I'll be there in just a minute. Okay. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abraham, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord which spake they by Joshua, the son of Nun. And so here, when you see this, when we take a look at Ahab's evil wife, Jezebel, came from the Phoenician city of Tyre, where her father had been a high priest and eventually king. We're going to look at Jezebel in a minute. And Jezebel worshipped the god of Baal in order to please her. Ahab built a temple that, an altar of Baal. Now, here, this is where this all comes from, because here now, as we read, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord of God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And in his days did Hiel, not Hiel, he was one of Ahab's acquaintances, if you will, the Bethelite, build Jericho, and he laid the foundation thereof in Abraham, his firstborn. In other words, what they did is they sacrificed a child and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which they spake of Joshua. So these men, they sacrificed their children to rebuild Jericho, and that curse that Joshua had put on them. And Joshua adjured them in the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and buildeth this city of Jericho. He shall lay the foundations thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall be set up in the gates of it. In other words, both of his sons did he lose out of for doing a wicked, evil thing. Okay, and so here now, we pick it up where we left off. Now here, when we say, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot and her father's household. Now, today, there is so much biblical illiteracy. There is so much biblical illiteracy out there. If you mention today a harlot, and you ask the young people, and I'm telling you, those that attend church, the ones that even do, they don't know what a harlot is. When you use that word, they don't know what that is. I remember I got into a little disagreement with a fellow who was supposed to be a Sunday school teacher in one of these prosperity churches. He was a Sunday school teacher. And the controversy was over something that was said, and this man did not know what a sodomite was. He did not know what a sodomite, and he was a Sunday school teacher. And out there today, you've got the language of illusion, delusion, and confusion. And they just, folks, I'm going to tell you, they just make a mess out of the King's English. And so here now, Rahab's name means, in the Hebrew, it means insolence. She was kind of a feisty woman here. Now, she was the wife. Now, the legend went that she ended up being the wife of Joshua. But actually, the Bible says that she married Salmon, one of the two young spies that she had sheltered. She became the mother of Boaz, who married Ruth, whose son Obed was the father of Jesse, the father of David, whose line Jesus was born. So she was very, very glad that Joshua appeared with the spies and saved her entire family alive. Because I'm going to tell you, treason was was treated with a lot of anger. And had she been caught, had not the Lord intervened, she and her family would have died a terrible death. But she was one of those. Remember, the title of the message tonight is The Good and the Glad, and the Bad and the Sad. And now we're going to go to the bad. We've done the good and we've done the glad. And now we're going to go to the bad. Mothers of the Bible. And we start over, as far as the bad goes, in Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. And we read, "And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works to show for themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that is a prophet or is one of the prophets." Now, they were referring, okay, when the Lord Jesus came and he was preaching. Well, let me just go back a couple of verses here. "And they went out and they preached." Well, let me go back a little more. And Jesus is saying, "In whatever place soever you enter into a house, there abide until you depart from them. And whosoever shall not receive you, or nor you hear you, when you depart, then shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." And they went out and they preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with anointing oil, and they were sick and healed them. Now here, Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist resurrected. And so he goes on and he says, others said that it's Elias, and others said that there's a prophet, or is one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake." Now, his brother's Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Now, here she had married Herod while she was still married to Philip. And this woman was a very rude. She was a very rude, She was wicked. I meant lewd is the word I meant to say. Lewd, wicked, and an extremely evil woman. Like, well, I can tell you, she would be like one of those Democratic women today, one of those from Now, or one of those from the Squat. These people like Hillary Clinton or Elizabeth Warren or AOC, these are wicked women. I mean, very wicked. And the Bible says they're unclean. They're unclean women. Nancy Pelosi would be in that category too. If it's a sin, they embrace it. They embrace it. And so here, when he's talking about this woman, she had a daughter. Herodias had a daughter, Solomon, or Salome, rather. And Salome was just like her mother. And there seems to be a tendency to go that way out there today. Just like Jezebel had Ophelia, and Ophelia was as wicked as Jezebel. Today we look at Hillary Clinton. This woman is a real modern-day Jezebel, but her daughter, I remember not long ago hearing her daughter, Chelsea, say, abortion is good for the economy. We need all the abortion we can get. In other words, the sacrificing and the killing of the children is good for the economy. This is pure wickedness. These women are as wicked gets. And so here, and when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him. And the king said unto the damsel, ask of thee whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give unto thee, unto half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. This woman, again, like I said, Herodias was an extremely wicked. Now, can you imagine, folks, she asked for the head of the greatest man born of women. And I got to believe there's a special hot place in hell today for her now. And it came to him straightway with haste unto the king. He asked, saying, I will that thou give me by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceedingly sorry yet for thy oak's sake and for their sakes which sat with him. He would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner, commanded his head be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up the corpse and laid it in a tomb. And again here, this woman was an extremely wicked woman, like many of those out there today, the ones that call them, well, just like those ones that were at the Supreme Court this week. Those women are very unclean. And I remember in 2017, I never seen such wickedness, such uncleanness in women as what took place there in Washington, D.C. And so here now, as we go through here, we're taking a look at the bad, the wicked. Now, I want to go over to 1 Kings chapter 21. And in 1 Kings chapter 21, because of time, and I think I might just go through the story here, verses 1 through 28, we look at Jezebel. Now, the name Jezebel means heartless woman, and that Jezebel spirit is so prevalent today amongst those women, those unclean women of the left. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, who was the king of Zidonians, and her gods were Baal and Ashtaroth, and she was a bloodthirsty, a whore. The scripture said she was a very whorish woman. And so here now, as we read here, "And it came to pass that after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab the king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me that vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give for thee a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Now Nahab said to Ahab, The Lord forbid me, and I should give thee inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Well, he was not permitted. It was not to leave and go out of the family here. And so here, as we continue, and so he says, And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now, after hearing God's judgment, Ahab went home to pout. You see, it was God that denied Ahab that property, that vineyard. And so, driven by anger and rebellion against God, he had a fit of rage when Naboth refused to sell him his vineyard. But here, again, when we take a look at the personalities of Ahab and Jezebel and Bill and Hillary Clinton, it's uncanny. It is uncanny. Not only that, but add to that Athaliah, their daughter, and Chelsea. It's uncanny. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid them down upon the bed and turned away his face, and he would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad, and why thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou not govern thy kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now this woman was scheming. She was a schemer. Again, a very, very wicked woman. And here she was known for having all the false prophets, 850 altogether, that would eat at her tables, and they would have orgies. She was known for that. She was a very promiscuous woman, and she would promote orgies. And here, so she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial. Sons of Belial were Sodomites. These were two Sodomites. So she says, go get two Sodomites before Naboth and him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme. So she's got these two Sodomites that were there to bear witness and say that Naboth blasphemed God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And when the city, and when the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and it was written in the letters which had sent them unto them. And they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And then there came the two men, children of Belial, and set before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. And then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass that when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose up to go to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise and go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in that vineyard of Naboth, whither he goeth down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away the prosperity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisses against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with like the house of Baasha and the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city of dogs shall eat, and him that dieth at the field shall be the fowls of the air shall eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in the following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass that when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he hath humbled himself before me, I will not bring this evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring that evil. And that's exactly what he did. Okay. And so here, if we continue looking at the bad, I want to go over to 2 Chronicles. And in 2 Chronicles in chapter 22. And here now, we see Ahaziah. Ahaziah, he was ruling Judah. Now, he was Athaliah. He was her son. Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And she was a very, very wicked woman, just like her mother, an extremely wicked woman. And so here she counseled her son. She counseled her son, Ahaziah, to do evil, to do wickedness. And so here she married Jehoram. And Jehoram, who became the king of Judah by the killing off of his six brothers. He became king by killing off, murdering his six brothers. So when what happened here with Athaliah, when her son was dead and she became the queen, she decided, look, I can't keep my grandchildren around. I can't keep Uzziah's children around. One of them could become king, and I want to rule. So she sent her soldiers in, her police, if you will, in to kill all of her grandchildren. But when Athaliah, the mother of Uzziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Uzziah. Now, at this time, he was 7 years old. He was 7 years old and stole him away from among the king's sons that were slain and put him in his nurses in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jeroboam, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And she hid him in the house of God 6 years. No, I misspoke. He was 7 years old at the time. And so when he came out, he was 13. And Athaliah reigned over the land. Well, I'm going to have to stop there, but the long and short of it was he became king, and Athaliah, like her mother, was killed for her wickedness. We're out of time for tonight. I'm going to stop right there, but Lord's willing, as we go through the Bible this week, we're going to be taking a look at the entire message here. And so we're living in a day called what the Bible calls the times of sorrow. And folks, if you look out there, you're seeing the righteous are becoming more righteous, and that's exactly what the Word of God said it would happen. The righteous would be more righteous, and the wicked would become more wicked, and we're seeing that the division between what today is called the right and the left is growing all the time. Those on the left are becoming more and more evil. The hatred towards God and Christians is becoming greater. You have the most wicked people out there professing to be, telling them that they're men of faith. Joe Biden, who embraces everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin. And the Roman Catholic Church doesn't have the decency and the honor to throw that wicked man out of the church. They don't have the decency and the honor to do that, folks. And so today, you're seeing things happening. The signs are all there, the soon return of our Lord. And time and time again, I've preached on making your salvation sure. And so the bottom line is simply this. If you don't know, if you can't say to me, Pastor, I know if I were to die this very night, I'd go home to be with the Lord, then you probably wouldn't. And you can't take a chance on that. You can't walk on a tightrope over that lake of fire. So if I were you tonight, if you're out there listening, if you have not made that commitment, if you don't have that peace that passes all understanding, if you don't know that you're saved, see, you'll know if you're saved. You'll know if you're saved, because if you're saved, you'll have a burning desire to serve the Lord, to do the Lord's work. If that desire is not there, then more than likely there's no salvation there either. And so you got to do something about that. You don't want to die in your sin. Believe me, you don't want to die in your sin. So do it tonight. Do it tonight. Do like Jesus said. Call upon the name of the Lord. Pray to the Father. Ask for forgiveness of your sin. That's the first thing the Lord Jesus preached on, was repentance. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Then ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations, and he will do that. He'll come into your life. God will always honor that. And so how much time do I have? Okay, God will always honor your commitments, always. So do it tonight. Don't wait. You may not have it tomorrow. And, well, we are out of time tonight like we always are. I want to say again, I hope that all you ladies out there listening are having a blessed, blessed Mother's Day today. And so, like we do at this time every night, and I got to take another. Wet my whistle. We want to say, like we do at this time every night, God bless, and remember, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.